Thank you, Rachel. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to service this morning at Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist. We'll invite all the folks in the foyer to come on in and take their spot, and we'll begin our worship. Recognize some visitors here, and thank you for coming, and we hope you feel welcome. We'll begin our song service with the Yellow Book, as we call it, Songs to Remember, number 6, and we'll turn to 195 at the bottom of the page. 195. I feel like traveling on. Good. Sounding good. And what a day that will be when we see at home. Number 180. Back a few pages. 180.
Yeah. Brother Sam. Thank you, Sister Rachel, for the good singing this morning and playing. We are so thankful to see each and every one here this morning. We're glad that you've come out for our service. Looks a little thinner in some ways today, but we've just gotten by Easter, and everybody comes out for Easter. We had our lunch another day, and everybody comes out for the lunches. And I heard a little thing yesterday about the different kinds of churches, Baptist churches, and one of the ones he said was an eatery church. That was members that came on Sundays that they had food. And I thought, wait a minute, he's talking about us here now sometimes. But the idea is that we are glad that everybody is here today. I wish we had the house full today, don't you? There's so many things in this world today that distracts. That's kind of what our message was about in our Sunday school today. That distracts people from serving God. There's so many things that keeps everybody out there from coming into the house of God. And they just don't realize what they're missing out. Now, they think, well, I need to sleep. Maybe I need to watch a game. Maybe I need to go do this or do that with my family. Maybe they think all of these things are so much better. And it might be for the moment, but there's coming a day when it will not be better. For us, as the song says, what a day that will be. And the song is telling us there's better things that are coming. And while we're here on this earth, we are serving the Lord and doing for Him. And hopefully we are trying to get as many people to go to heaven with us. That's our main job. That is our main job, is to try to get as many people to go to heaven with us. I said not too long ago, if every one of us could just get one person to go to heaven with us, oh, that'd be a great thing, wouldn't it? But if we got two, then what? Maybe three. If we got four, you think about how many more people would be ready to serve the Lord in that day. You think about how many more people there would be in heaven. Well, you might say, well, we're going to run out of room up there. No, we're not going to run out of room. God's got it all ready for me. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. In other words, it's still in preparation is what it's doing. It's still a building up. And that's what I want us to keep in mind. Let's get somebody to go to heaven with us. And not just in word, not just in their mind, but in their heart, they'll know that they're saved is what we want to do. It's good to see everybody out today. Glad to have our visitors with us today. We're thankful for you coming to be in our house of the Lord this morning. And we just pray that God will bless you in this service today. We're going to start out with Children's Church. And I think I was over here this week. I guess I'll come right over here this week. Come on, kids. Come on, kids. It's good to see all of y'all with me today. All right. How many of you, I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you do pray? You know, like a nighttime prayer, a bedtime prayer, I guess is what I'm saying. Or maybe you pray a blessing. Or maybe it's at your school that maybe you have to do a devotional and lead in prayer. How many of you ever do that? Not anybody? Yeah, I see some hands. Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm glad that you do that. I'm glad your parents, if you do a blessing over your food, I'm glad that you do that. Maybe it's your bedtime prayers. I think that's important for you. You might say, well, it's kind of, Mom and Daddy makes me pray over these things. But it's starting to teach you how to talk to God. How do you talk to God? Anybody want to answer? Go ahead. You pray to him. The best way to talk to him is praying. But when you're praying, now, Jesus gave us some instructions on how to pray as far as when he said, our Father which art in heaven, starting it out. We should recognize who we're talking to, shouldn't we? If you talk to one of your friends at school, you recognize them, don't you? You talk to them about who they are, and you know them. So you talk to God in the same way, that you know who he is. Now, when you're talking to God, I like to talk to him just like I talk to you, in a conversation. A lot of times I'll just tell him how good I think he is. You know, God's a pretty good feller, isn't he? He is. And if you got a friend that's been nice to you, you like to tell them that they've been nice to you. If somebody tells you that they love you and appreciate what you did for them, you like that, don't you? So you tell God that same thing. But when you get to all through these things, usually we kind of have a request line, we call it, don't we? We get to a place where we want to just ask him about, Lord, can you do this? Or could you do that for me? No. Sometimes we just want to ask him about, Lord, I don't feel good. Can you make me feel better? Maybe your grandparents are not feeling good. You want them to feel better. Just talk to him about it. Ask him about it. You see, all of these things build up, and they prepare you to get ready to talk to him in more serious manners. Some of you have been blessed to be saved, but some of you have not. Some of you will come to a time when you'll realize that you need to get saved. Now, how do you get saved? You start praying, right? You start talking to him just like you've been talking to him before. But when you get down to that part of being saved, you tell him what you want. Lord, I want to be saved. I want to know that I'm going to heaven. That's what you're wanting to do, right? So that's my idea for you today. Practice your praying, not just at meals and in bedtime, just from time to time, just have a talk with God. He likes it when you talk with him. He does. He really likes it when you talk with him. So from time to time, you just talk to him. And when that day hits that you know that you need to get saved, you start talking to the Lord about it and really ask him and really believe that he's going to do it, and he'll save you. What he'll do. That's my thoughts for today. I'll let you go back. Thank y'all for coming up today. So good to see our young ones in our church. I'm always thankful for every young one that's here in the house, and I just appreciate them coming up and listening to the little lesson. Each one of these, shift a little bit. We have some that are a little older, and they think, well, I shouldn't go up. But you set an example for them, for these little ones. You do. You make it easier for them to come up here by you being up here. Many people don't think about it, but what you do in a church service, it sets an example for somebody else. So I want you to keep that in mind. You be the example that the others need to follow. Okay, good to see everybody here today. We appreciate everybody coming out for our service today. We want to go to the Lord in prayer. We had quite a few prayer requests. Is there any other prayer request that needs to be made this morning? We do want to remember Brother Landy. Brother Landy's in the hospital. He's been running a fever now for about 8-9 days, and thought it was one thing, and they ruled that out, and they thought it was another, and they ruled that out, and his fever's finally broke, what Sister Carla told me this morning, and hopefully it'll stay down, and he'll get to come home today. But they're still trying to figure out just exactly where it came from. So let's do remember Brother Lanny and the family and their prayers. Sister Carla came on into church. Thank you for doing so. I know she's wore out. I spent a day and a half basically at the hospital a week and a half ago, I guess, now. And it'll wear you out, right? So let's pray for her and the rest of the family that's staying with Brother Lanny. It'll wear you out, so let's remember them. Somebody else have another prayer request on your heart? We want to go to the Lord in prayer at this time, and we just want you to pray. Pray that the Lord will lead in this service, and it'll be what the Lord wants it to be. And pray for me, that if it's the Lord's will that I preach today, that it'll be what God wants it to be. So everybody be prayerful for this service today. Brother John, if you would you lead us in prayer, please?
May be seated again. Continuing our song service, let's do number 148, an old number called Farther Along, and we'll do all four verses, all four. I've always loved that song, and sometimes we don't do it justice because we're so prone to just singing three verses of the song. But the writer intended it for it to be sung, and so we felt like doing all four verses. Let's do a couple verses of 124, and then one other after that, and we'll turn the service to Brother Ricky. 124. All right, if you'll indulge us for one more song, it's a short one, but one that I love, 216, Bound for That City, 216.
Thank you.
appreciate the good praying, the good singing, the good playing, and I hope you'll continue to pray is what I hope you'll continue to do. Does anybody have a word of testimony or anything on your heart at this time? It's good to see each and every one of you here today. And as we said earlier, we're glad to have our visitors with us today. And good to see Sister Nettie back with us. She hadn't been able to be here in a while. Some others have been sick and down. And as Brother Stewart said earlier in our Sunday school class, the devil fights us many different ways. And many of our older members have been sick a lot lately. And where they've not been able to come because of this thing, or maybe it's even been family members, I'll say it that way, but the devil fights us many different ways, doesn't he? He's got a reason for it. Brother Stewart brought out some reasons this morning in our Sunday school class today. I remember an old preacher saying that the devil came to cheat, to deceive, and to destroy is the way he said it. And he wants to drag everyone he can down with him is basically what he wants to do. I want you to know today that there is a heaven to gain, and as the old people used to say, there's a hell to shun, and that means to go away from. You don't want to go to that place. We're going to take our reading lesson today from the 16th chapter of the book of Luke today for our reading lesson. Our thought will be coming from here. Basically, we're going to take the next several verses and we're going to preach on this today. And we hope that you'll be prayerful for this message, that it'll go where it needs to go. First of all, especially to those that are unsaved today. But I hope it stirs up something in us that are saved. It should. It should stir it up, something up in us. We are to be worried about these that are unsaved today. We've got reason to worry. We don't want them to end up in this place that we've just talked about, the place of hell. So let's be prayerful today, and you pray that the Lord will take this message and use it the way He wants it to be. Starting in the 19th verse of the 16th chapter of Luke, this is all familiar to you, I think, but if you've been in church very much, and it says, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores." I'm going to stop there just for a moment or two here today in this message. This is basically the way this message is going to be. We're going to read a few verses. We're going to talk about them a little bit and try to bring out some points today for you to understand today. I want you to notice that it says that it was a certain rich man and it was a certain beggar. Now, there are many individuals in the world today that they'll say, well, this was just a parable. It was a made-up story that Jesus used to prove a point, like all the rest of his parables. Now, in the Bible, all the other parables, it never gives a name. I want you to understand that. But I also want you to notice it said he was a certain rich man. That was an individual that he was talking about. I think Jesus knew everyone in this story here. I think he knew them and knew who they was at that time. Whether they were already some of these already. I'm talking about the brethren of this certain rich man. You'll find that later on. But I believe there was a time that this man lived, these two men lived in that day. And what I'm saying to you today is this is a particular time. I want you to notice something here. It says that he was a rich man. Now, if you'll remember in the scriptures, Jesus made a statement on one occasion, and you'll find it in the 10th chapter of Mark is where I'm going first of all today in this message. And in this lesson here, there was a young man that came to Jesus, and he said, "Good master, what must I do to be saved?" is what he said starting out. And he said, "Good master." And Jesus said, "Why callest thou me good? There's none good but God." Now, that was the man's first hint at that place, at that time. He needed to recognize who Jesus was, first of all. He needed God, Jesus, to be God to him. But he wanted that man to understand who he was. But he wanted to do some good act. I understand today that there's many individuals, they think within themselves that they can do a good work in this life and they'll get to heaven. Now, Jesus did turn around to them and he said, "Keep the commandments." And basically what he said unto him, "You keep those things as far as loving thy neighbor as thyself," is the ones he mentioned. Now, the young man turns around and he says unto him, "All these things have I done from my youth up." Oh, this young man was a good feller, wasn't he? He kept the law just like he was supposed to have done. He'd done everything right in his own mind. But the Lord here says that he had compassion on him. I want you to know today, sinner friend, that first of all, God had compassion on you. In other words, he loved you today in this day and age. He loved you 2,000 years ago when he sent his son into this world to die for your sin. He loved you enough to send him into this world for that very purpose is what he did. But now, this young man, he says, "I've kept all of these from my youth up." And what the scripture said about this young man, that he went away sorrowful, for he had much possessions. He was a rich man. Now, the next phrase out of the Lord's mouth was this: "Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of heaven?" That rich man was in this same category. I want you to understand something today. If you're here today in this church house, more than likely you're pretty rich today. Maybe you do not have all the financial means that you want, but if you've got a car, if you've got some money in your pocket, if you've got a house, if you've got a place to live, if you've got a place to sleep, you are rich in this world's eyes. Yes, you're rich. You may not consider yourself to be a rich man, but you are a rich man today. If you're inside of this church today, you're rich in just the fact of getting to hear the preached word of God today as it comes from this word. Jesus said unto them, "How hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of heaven?" They said, "How then? Who then can be saved?" All right then. If it's hard for a rich man to get saved today, and you're all rich, how can you get saved? He said, "It is easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's the words of Jesus in this place today. But I want you to understand that this man was a rich man, and he had trusted in his riches of that time, and because of that, he had found himself in a bad situation. I'm talking about the rich man, that certain rich man in that place. I don't want you, first of all, to get into that position, to get into the place where that you're trusting in your riches, you're trusting in the things that you've done, you're trusting in the very fact of who your parents are, that they carried you to church. Many times I hear people say, well, I grew up in church from the time that I was born. I read a testimony of a young man last night. He said, I grew up in church from the time I was born. Bless his heart, I'm glad he did. But he went on to talk about his salvation, and it was different from mine. I'll say it that way. I hope he hadn't been deceived. I hope he really did get saved, is what I want you to understand. But he never talked about the change that happens when an individual truly gets saved. Now you might say, well, what is that change? We're going to get to that here in just a moment. Out of the rich man and Lazarus. The Bible said that the other man was a beggar, a certain beggar named Lazarus. And Lazarus laid at the gate of the rich man and begged for the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. I'm going to ask you today, how many of you would be willing just to have the crumbs from somebody else's table? I'm talking about the scraps is what I'm talking about. You know, you see people eat a chicken leg, and they'll eat that, gnaw that meat off of there, and they'll pitch it off to the side. If you was hungry enough, would you gnaw what was left of that off? Most of us would say we definitely wouldn't we? We would say, I don't want to eat after somebody else. But this man was hungry. He was in need. And we're going to get to that a little bit more. I want you to look over into the 15th chapter of the book of Matthew. And we're going to talk about somebody being a beggar. Do you know what it is to be a beggar? Most of us today, we think of somebody begging is somebody standing down here on the corner of the interstate, and they're out there with a sign saying, I need food. That's the way we consider being a beggar. But I want you to listen to this woman as she shows you what it is to really and be a beggar to God, to be a beggar to Jesus. Now, in the 21st verse, it talks about it, Jesus going in to Tyre, Sidon, and he said, behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy upon me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Let me back up just a second. This woman was from Sidon. She was a Canaanite woman. She was not Jewish. She was not of the heritage of Jesus. So by our terms today, she was a foreigner in that land. Now, I realize we're good to most foreigners in our day. We should be. But there's always those people that looks at a foreigner in a different way. You know, if somebody's got a different hairstyle, we go, what in the world? If they've got a different color of hair, we look at them in a different way, don't we? But this lady was of a different nationality, and the Lord was listening to her, and the apostle said, this woman grieves us by her continual following and begging unto us. He said, send her away, But Jesus, and you might think this was a little bit harsh, but Jesus said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In other words, I've got a job to do with these people here. I can't talk and I can't give you what you need at this time. Well, that sounded a little bit rough, didn't it? But the fact of the matter was, Jesus was testing this lady. And what it said, then came she and worshiped him. She fell down on her knees, in other words. She got down to a place where that she needed God's help through Jesus Christ. She'd heard about Jesus. She knew about him. She wanted help from her, from him, is what he needed. She needed in that place. And she said, Lord, help. That's a simple prayer, isn't it? Lord, help in that time. She said, and Jesus answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. In other words, if my children were at my table and they had food on the table and I give it out to the dogs, I wouldn't be doing them right, would I? That's what Jesus basically told her. I'm telling you, Jesus was testing her. He wanted to see where her faith was. This woman came back with a good answer. And she said, truth, Lord, yet dogs eat of the crumbs. What was Lazarus doing? He was eating of the crumbs of that rich man's table. Now, that was not the reason why that Lazarus was saved. Not because that he was a beggar, poor man, that didn't have anything. That beggar got saved just like every one of us that got saved in the very same way. He had put his faith in God sometime or another. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us these things, but that's the only way that an individual is ever going to heaven is if they put faith and trust in Jesus Christ to the saving of their soul. But it says about these men that, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. I want you to know something today. Everyone in this room is going to die sometime or another. You may be young. You may be old in your own minds. But sometime or another, you're going to die. It's appointed unto men to death. That's the penalty of the sin that Adam did. That death would come unto all men. That's the penalty that is there for each and every one of them. So these two men died. One was, I guess, laid in a ditch. The other one was buried. He probably had the best funeral that there was. But listen to the results of each of this. When it says that the beggar died, he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Now this Abraham here is speaking about God. It's not Abraham of old that we read about in Genesis. This is Abraham the father. That's what that word means. It is the heavenly father, and he was carried into the heavenly father's bosom. Everyone that has ever been saved and died in this world has gone into Father Abraham's bosom. And where is Father Abraham's bosom? I'll say it the very same way that Jesus told the thief on the cross. He said, today thou wilt be with me in paradise. Where did Jesus go? He went to be with his heavenly Father. Where did that thief go? He went right where Jesus was, which is heaven, and that's where they are abiding even still today. And this beggar died, and by the angels, he was carried up to be in heaven. Now, the scripture says, and he after this. He says, and in hell, this is talking about the rich man. In hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Oh, wait a minute. Torments, what is torments? Torments, to put it in a natural term, is if I take you by the arm and pull your arm out of socket. It's going to bring terrible pain, wouldn't it? How about if somebody took a flame or something, maybe a fire that was built there, and they just drug you and put you into that flame? That would be a terrible torment upon any individual, wouldn't it? What about some other kind of torment that might come upon an individual? How about just the thought of the loss of everybody that you knew and loved were not where you were? Would that not be a torment? Oh, we think now, well, that wouldn't be too bad, wouldn't it? Sometimes mom and daddy's mean to me at times, and they won't let me have my way. And I think, well, I just don't want to be around them anymore. You go away from them a while and see if you don't want to come back home. There's all kinds of torments, but notice it says that he woke up in hell, up his eyes in hell, and was in torments more than one. Now, the scripture says here, and he seeth Abraham, father Abraham, afar off, and he seeth Lazarus in his bosom. You know, that's going to be one of the torments for the ones that die and go into a devil's hell. They're going to be able to look over into heaven. They're going to be able to see God. They're going to be able to see Jesus over there. They're going to be able to see the ones that died in the Lord. And they're going to be able to see the joy and the happiness that is going on in that place. You want to hear what's going to happen in that place? Look at Isaiah 25, if you want to, right quick. In verse 8, he'll say, and he will swallow up death in victory. In other words, there's not going to be any more death around us. When we here upon this earth, I said it a while ago, everyone in this room, sometime or another, is going to die. But if in the day of the Lord, there'll be no more death, is what he's saying. And he says, and the Lord God will wipe away all the tears that are there. Think about that. We cry from one time to another. I'm one of them old proud men that don't cry a lot, and I wished I cried more than I do. But when my tears get so heavy, I think so much about them. But there's coming a day for us that are saved. There'll be no more tears in our eyes because the Lord will have wiped the faces, our faces. And he said, and the rebuke of his people shall be, he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. And what that means is all the troubles and trials of this earth, the rebuke of this world. You talking about those people giving you trouble in life? You talk about those people that you told about the Lord and they wouldn't listen to you? All of that rebuke that they brought, that's going away. It'll be great, won't it? But those in hell, like the rich man, are going to see you rejoice that are saved. But if you're a sinner and you go into that place, you'll be the one that's looking over. I want you to think about that now. I want you to think about it for a moment. If your mom and daddy are saved, and you die in your sin, and they go into heaven, you'll be able to see them there. But you won't be there. Maybe it's your husband or your wife. If they go on and you, both of you go at the same time, they'll go one way and you go the other. I want you to think about that today. It says that as he was there, this rich man was in torments. And he said, and he cried unto Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. I haven't talked about hell being a flame yet, have I? I haven't talked about it being a fire, but that's what it is. It is a place that burneth with fire and with brimstone. In the book of Matthew, I believe it is, we was there close to it, 15th chapter earlier. And in the, nope, it's in the book of Mark, excuse me. Mark, the 9th chapter is where it's at. And verse 44, it describes a place which the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Whoa. We're used to fires. Brother Steve has put out many a fire in his years as a fireman. And what I'm talking about is he goes in there with hoses, water going. He puts it, he works at it, he and his crew. They work at putting the fires out. I don't know of any fire on this earth that has not been quenched at one time. But in hell, that fire will not ever, ever be quenched. For he says, for the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. One of the other scriptures down through here, it repeats it several times. And basically what it says, for it burneth forever and ever. That's meaning an eternity. It's never ending. Friend of mine years ago when I was a teenager, just a young preacher, he said, how can somebody go into hell and it not just be over with in a little while? I didn't really have a good answer for him. I was young in the ministry. But as Jesus told his disciples about that camel going through the eye of a needle, with man, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. You see, God created that place. Not for you, sinner friend. But he made it for the devil and his angels, is what he says in Matthew 25. He made it for the devil himself. The one that you're following is what he's doing. And he made it for them. But he says here, and when he wanted a cool drink of water, just one drop. And I've saw it many times over the years. Preachers would have a glass of water, and they dip their finger in water and put it up. That's not much water, is it? Have you ever done that? Just put your finger down into the water just a little bit? Seen that one little drop? That wouldn't cool much, would it? Not even for a moment, will it? But truthfully, I think what the rich man wanted, he wanted somebody to come and bring him a taste of living water. He wanted to get out of that place because he was tormented in that flame. He was tormented in such a way that he was feeling that pain, that agony, the sorrows of death had gotten a hold of him now, and he couldn't get out of it except he get the river of a drop of water from the river of life. And you'll find that in Revelation 22 and 1. And John said, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. That's the only place that you can ever get salvation is from God and his Son. Remember how Jesus spoke to the Samaritan woman? If you'd asked of me, I would have given you living water. That's what he wants. And you can have it today, sinner friend. Then he says, but Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth the good things and Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Oh, Lord, help you. If you do not trust in Jesus Christ for the saving of your soul, before you die, you will be in this torment. Now, he said, and besides all of this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence you to you, or from here to you, cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. In other words, when you get to hell, you're there. I realize there's a lot of people thinks that, well, after a little while, God will have mercy upon me and he'll let me out. No. There's a gulf fixed. What is a gulf? It's a great big valley. It's a place of division. You'll be able to see heaven, but you won't be able to get there. You'll be able to just realize how wonderful it is, but you'll not be able to get there because that gulf is there. You're there, and that's it. You can't go anywhere else. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. How many of you like to go somewhere where you're not wanted? I've been a few places. I got in there and I didn't want to be there. They didn't want me there and I didn't want to be there. That rich man didn't even want his brothers to come there. I want you to think about that. You think about your mothers and your fathers. You'd get there, and if they were sinners there, and you'd think, I don't want them to come here. Why? Because you're in torments. You're being troubled by all of the flame that is about you. The fact that you're never burning up, that was the worm that it was. You is never burned up. He said, therefore, said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Did you notice that he said torment again? That was prevalent on his mind. The pain that he was going through, the agony of that he was going through in that moment in time. Oh, it was tearing his heart all to pieces at that time. And even to think about his brothers. How many of you kids fight with your brothers or sisters? Mine did. I've heard Brother Stewart talk about they did. I've heard other ones talk about how they fought with each other. But in that moment when you're there, you're not going to want them. You're going to love them enough that you don't want them there. Lord told them, they have Moses and the prophets to hear. Let them hear him. Now you might say, well, what are you talking about? That word right there. Anytime a preacher is preaching to you, you're getting the same warning that God was telling that rich man that his brothers was going to get. Now the question is, are you going to heed to that? Now the statement was by the rich man. He said, Lord, if just one went back from the dead, surely they would believe. Surely. Surely they would. Oh, if we had somebody come up out of the grave over here and they started telling us about hell, surely we'd believe them, wouldn't we? Heck, we wouldn't even believe they rose from the dead, would we? Jesus rose from the dead, and yet you still haven't believed, have you? Have you? He said, nay, even though one went from the dead, rose from the dead, they will not believe. If they hear not this word today, and what I want you to understand today, if you're a sinner here today and you know that you're a sinner, I'm talking about you know that you're going to hell just as sure as you died today. That's where you go. You're a sinner in His eyes. And that's where you're going. I hope and pray that it gets to your heart today. Brother Sam, that's our message today. Get us a song. I want you to pray, first of all. I told the kids, I said, there's coming a time when you're going to know that you're a sinner. And the best thing that you can do is pray. Don't put it off another minute. Now, what we generally say is, you don't even have the promise of tomorrow, do you? You don't even have the promise of the next minute. No, we don't. Oh, I thought surely I'd get home today. I thought surely I'd go to school tomorrow. I thought surely I'd go to work tomorrow. I thought surely that I would do it. You know, that rich man, no doubt in his mind, he thought everything was fine because he was faring very sumptuously. He had everything he desired. When the Lord called, he left this earth. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes. Think about it. If you're here today and you're lost, you better think strong about it. Time is running out. And you better do something about it. Because you don't have the promise of tomorrow or today. Or even getting out of this church house while we stand and sing. Come and seek the Lord before it's too late.
246 at the bottom of the page, 246.